All right, we are in chapter 3 of Colossians, and hopefully it has been a great study for each and every one of us to go back and see what Paul is having to deal with, because he's having to deal with false teachers, and he's trying to get the church to turn back to, many of them have drifted away and following those false teachers. And so Paul is trying to help them to understand their relationship with Jesus Christ. And so what we need to understand that if you are a child of God, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have been raised with Christ. You seek him. You set your mind on him. You understand that secretly your life is hid with him, and you should have left the old life because it did not get you anywhere. The old way of life, it led to destruction. And so when you look at verse, not only did it lead to destruction, but it separated us from God, and it opened us up to being subjects to the wrath of God. The old way of life had nothing good for us. It used us. It tossed us aside. And the reason, there's a reason for us to put sin to death in our lives, is because our new direction is to walk with God. And when we sin, it is because we are doing what our flesh wants instead of what God wants. And then we looked at verse number 8 and verse number 9, and it deals with the issue of attitudes. And so our attitude toward others need to be Christ-like. And we are called and we are obligated to treat others in a Christ-like manner, even if they don't deserve it. And in verse 10, we are to have a new purpose. We are called to be renewed to a true knowledge of Christ. And our new purpose is to be transformed in the image of Jesus. Well, what is the purpose for my life? It is to be transformed into the image of Jesus. And so we have to understand that the only thing that matters and that should matter is Jesus Christ. So as we look tonight at verse number 12, in verse number 12, because we are a child of God, because we are a new creature in Christ, because we have been raised with Christ, when you are clothed with Christ, you are called to wear some special clothing. And so that is what verse number 12 is beginning to deal with. Because notice in our passage, in verse 12, he says, put on therefore, as the elect or as the chosen ones, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So now notice in this passage, what Paul calls us, Paul calls us elect. He calls us chosen of God, holy and beloved. And what this implies is that this implies that we have a special calling. We are chosen by God for a special purpose and for a special destiny. Now, when you look at the word holy, the word holy means to be set apart, because we are chosen for special service Now we are told to put on some special items. Now let's look at verse number 12, because he deals with five things that God wants us to wear, not just on Sunday, but he wants us to wear these things all of the time. Number, first of all, he says, holy and in love, he says, bow of mercy. So he's talking about, when you talk about the first thing, is that he talks about the bowels of mercy. Compassion is what he's talking about, is a sensitive and sympathy for the needs of others. Let me say that again. Compassion is a sensitive and sympathy for the needs of others. How many times have we been alerted to the needs of others only to just ignore the need? We think that someone else will take care of it. Christians need to be sympathetic to the needs of others, because it's easy to be callous toward others, because we can think that people cause their own problems. And maybe many times that's true. But did that affect how Jesus felt about those who were hurting and in need? We have to think about it. We have to show compassion. And so I'm guilty many times, I'm guilty, and many of you can say you are guilty of lacking in compassion at times. This is something, yes, I need to work on, and maybe it's something that we all need to work on, is having compassion, having sympathy for the needs of others. And then he goes on and he says, not only bowels of mercy, but he says kindness. Now, kindness is acting charitable or being benevolent toward others. Kindness is closely related to compassion. The kind person is as concerned about his neighbor's good as he is about his own. Acts of kindness can change a person's life. And many of us know that from experience. We know that sometimes there was somebody who's been kind to us, and maybe we have been kind to them. And so it can change a person's life. And then he goes on and he says, humbleness of mind. That's humility. This is an attitude in which we do not look at ourselves as being better than other people. And so it's an attitude in which we do not run ourselves down as being worthless. Jesus was the ultimate example of humility as he humbled himself to the point of death on the cross. So, yes, we need to put on these bowels of mercy. Compassion, have a compassionate heart, kindness, humbleness of mind, humility. And then he goes on and he says, meekness, gentleness. Gentleness is closely related to humility. It is a willingness to suffer injury rather than inflicting it on another. Let me say that again. It's the willingness to suffer injury rather than inflicting it on another. You know people who are gentle. They are people who are a joy to be around. And I hope that we all display this gentleness, that people enjoy being around you and I. See, the gentle person knows he is a sinner among sinners, and he's willing to suffer the burdens others' sin may impose on him. And this gentleness can only be produced by the Holy Spirit. Read Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Here it is, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So this gentleness can only be produced by the Holy Spirit and should mark the Christian's behavior at all times, not sometimes, at all times, even when restoring a sinning brother. When you look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so we need to have this gentleness. But then he says, again, when we go back, he talks about patience or long suffering. Patience is putting up with people who irritate. That's what it is. And we know we've had some people that will irritate us. But we have to be patient. Patient is putting up with people who irritate. It is a spirit that does not lose patience with his fellow man. And that's why it's important that you need to be putting on these things every day, displaying these things every day, because you're going to run into people who irritates you, and you're going to run into people who are not kind to you, but you have to be kind to them, and you got to be patient. And so when you put on God's wardrobe, and that's what it is, look at verse 13. In verse 13, he says, not only long-suffering, again, forbearing. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Clothing ourselves with Christ will make us different people. We bear with one another. And so bearing with one another means that we will endure. We'll hold out in spite of persecution, in spite of threats, injury, indifference, or complaints, and not retaliate. Why? Because we know that no matter what others do to us, it is not up to us to seek to even the score. I believe I got to say that again. That no matter what others do to us, it is not up to us to seek even to even the score. Why? Because vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will repay, Romans chapter 12. And so Jesus, by enduring the suffering he did en route to the cross, he showed us how we can do it. Because when he was there on the cross, they were mocking him. He looked down and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that brings us to another one. We have to forgive one another. We are not only to bear with one another, but we are called to forgive one another. So the passage tells us to forgive, and the reason that we forgive is because Jesus forgave us. Jesus modeled what it means to forgive. And we are to continually forgive one another. We are to forgive one another no matter what. No matter what. We are obligated to forgive because God forgave us. And so Jesus, he extended special grace to you and I. When we did not deserve it, God sent his Son to die so that we could have forgiveness. So forgiveness, it means that much to God. If we cannot extend that grace to others, we cannot expect to receive it ourselves. Let me say it again. If we cannot extend that grace to others, talking about forgiveness and bearing with one another, we cannot expect to receive it ourselves. And then in verse 14, he put the finishing touch on it. He says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Whenever you put on a nice outfit, you need something to finish off, something to bring it all together or make it complete. Well, in this particular text, what we need to finish off and make it complete, this wardrobe we have, is to put on love. This is something that must drive everything we do, is love. Love bring the outfit together. Love is the tie that binds. And when I put outfits together, many times a tie will bring the suit and the shirt together. So love is what brings the whole outfit together. We are told that love is the perfect bond of unity. Everything we do must flow from our love for God. When you clothe yourself with Christ, it makes a difference in your life. And so Paul, he goes on, and after he says, you put on this foul touch, you put on this love, which is the bond of perfectness, of harmony. Then he says, in verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. How many of us are stressed out with lives, seem to be in all the time? Does it seem that every time we turn around that we are in a midst of some crisis? Do you feel tension around you all the time? Are you stressed out by your children, your job, your spouse? Well, in the context of this passage, it would seem like there were some issues in the church that was causing some problems. There were people complaining against one another. And according to verse 13, and what it was causing, it was causing problems. What is it that gets your blood boiling? Think about it. Where do you lose your patience? Do you think that Jesus wants us to live in turmoil, in chaos, in crisis? No, ma'am, and no, sir. But what God has is that God has a solution for you and I. Let's look at John 14 and verse 30. John 14 and verse 27. John 14 and verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. But then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace is an inner state of tranquility that comes from knowing that you are right with God. Because if you are not right with God, you won't have any peace. Peace is, it comes from knowing that, hey, I'm right with God. We are able to have this inner state of tranquility because we feel secure in our position with God. We feel safe in Christ. And Jesus wants us to have this inner tranquility. Because when we are at war with God, we will not have the inner peace he desires us to have because we do not feel secure in our salvation. And if we realize who we are and what we are in Christ, then we will be able to deal with whatever the world throws at us, because we know who we are in Christ. So when we put on Christ, one of the blessings is peace. We are not called to be at peace at any price. Having peace means to be under God's control. As we make courageous moral decisions for the truth. This peace that God offers to us has a purpose. The purpose is that the peace is to rule in our hearts. That's what he said. In verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. The word translated rule, it means to umpire a referee. The peace of Christ guides believers. It's a referee in helping us make the right decisions. And so we have to make sure that what we do is in line with being at peace with God and being at peace with one another. It's no good to be at peace with God when we are not at peace with one another. When we are at peace with God, then we will be at peace with one another. Because a life without the peace of God ruling the heart will be a life on chaos, of chaos also. So not only is our peace to be subjective, but it's also to be objective. We are called to be at peace with one another, and we are called into one body. Being thankful helps us to maintain the peace we have been given by God. And then we're going to look at verse 16, and then we'll close out tonight. In verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We need to allow the word of Christ to dwell within us. And we are told to let the word of Christ richly dwell within us. Well, here's the question. How do you think this happens? It only happens when we allow the word to penetrate our lives. When we know and understand God's word, it fills our heart, it molds our thoughts and feelings, and it guides our lives. When you look at the word dwell, it means to permanently reside. When we study God's word, it resides within us forever. And our lives should be the place where God's word resides. And it should be a home for God's word. Psalms 119 and verse 11. Psalms 119 and verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So when the word of God dwells within us, we will be able to help other people when they are struggling. When the word of God is within us, We will also be able to admonish people when needed. Because admonishing is the negative side of teaching. It means to warn people of the consequences of their behavior. Both are the result of a life overflowing with the word of Christ. And then he says, in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Songs give us a real door for whatsoever circumstance you find yourself in. When you find yourself, never ever forget to thank that God is to be thanked when you're going through some things. Read sometimes Psalms 100. It's a very good passage of scripture, Psalms 100. Because when you are at your toughest time, that is the time you need to be thankful. You need to have a song in your heart that allows you to explore God's presence in your life, and it keeps you from being overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. What I want you to do is I want you to continue to read, because when you get to verse 18, when you begin to look at verse 18 through the remaining of chapter 3, I want you to pay attention to what he shifts. He's been talking about this, but then he began to talk about something else in verse 18 through verse 25. He began to deal with some other relationships. And so we're going to look at that and see how all of these things is tying in to what Paul is dealing with there in Colossians chapter 3. So at this time, we're going to be getting ready to take prayer requests.